victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Oh yes, there's victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I'm glad there's victory in Jesus. He's my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere. Oh, aren't you glad he did? Plunge me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad there's victory in the Lord tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet him in the name of the Lord. Tell him you're glad to see him in church tonight. Play a little bit more of that. You guys are sounding pretty good. Bless you, buddy. Good to see you. Samuel, God bless you. Cheeker, good to see you. God bless you, buddy. There's victory in Jesus. He's my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Praise the Lord. Well, we had some church here Wednesday night, didn't we? How many of you appreciate the word of the Lord? I'm glad Abraham ended up like he did. When his final chapters about his life was written, I hope that's written about you and I, don't you? I believe it will be. If we'll be faithful to the cause of Christ, I believe our final chapters, it'll have a good report about us. Are you glad to be in church tonight? Are you glad you're a Christian? Are you glad you love the Lord? Are you glad you love God's people? Amen. Give me one more hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer request. First of all, let me make this announcement. The Fall Festival sign-up sheet is in the library. If you'd like to help, please put your name where you would like to work before I assign you a place. Now, this is Brother Michael Bailey doing this talking, so let me get that clear. Anyone with new food ideas or questions, please see Brother Michael Bailey. So if you can help out, they need your help. So let's remember that tonight. Let's look at our prayer request. Brother Amos says his elderly mother is losing ability to swallow due to Parkinson's and cannot hold her head up. Other medical options are being considered, but all are risk and inconveniences. So we just want to commit her to the Lord tonight. I believe God's able to help her, and let's just pray that He would do that tonight. Brother Brad Gilbert has an unspoken prayer request he'd like for the church to pray about. Sister Irene Pierce says to please pray for my husband, Mike Pierce. He is having complications from kidney dialysis, plus extremely weak from stomach problems that doctors have not been able to give a proper diagnosis for. Thank you, and may God bless. So let's remember Brother Mike Pierce in prayer tonight, that the Lord would be mindful of him. I want to pray for Sister Jackie Williams' mother. She fell and injured herself, so let's remember her tonight as we pray. Brother Keith Strader from West Virginia wants to thank God for a successful surgery on his hand. He is without pain for the first time in a long time, and he appreciates your prayers. So praise the Lord for that. Sister Janet Payne says to please pray for my niece in West Virginia, Tabitha Underwood, who had a head-on collision with a coal truck and is on life support. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Pray for a prayer request for Sister Thelma Keith, who had back surgery, also for Brother John Keith. Let's remember those folks tonight in prayer. Continue to pray for Sister Phyllis Phillips for her upcoming surgery. And she has an upper respiratory infection. Also pray for our children. Brother Pinky Phillips sends that in, so let's remember that need tonight. Brother Baker says he has a very urgent unspoken prayer request the Lord knows all about. We'll just commit that to the Lord. I want to pray for Jerry McGinnis. He has had many, many strokes and is in the hospital in Dayton, Ohio. So they're asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have something tonight you'd like for this group to pray about, do you believe we're serving a prayer-answering God?
Amen.
You believe He's bigger than whatever your problem is?
Amen.
He's come on the scene too many times for every one of us to ever doubt. We cannot doubt. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight as we get ready to pray. Brother Ron Sherman, where's he at? He's not in the room right now, is he? Come here, Brother Ron. Pray over these prayer requests for us tonight. Let's just commit these things unto the Lord. God's certainly good to us, isn't He?
Amen.
You love Him with all your heart.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Brother Ron, God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we meet once again, Lord, as an assembly, and we thank You, Lord, for this opportunity. And we know, Lord, that the time is short, Lord. And Lord, we need every opportunity to come to church, Lord. I know I want to be here, and my family does. And I know Your saints do too, Lord. And Lord, as Satan is attacking, Lord, the different ones, Lord, the ones that hold of my hand here, Lord, they're precious people, Lord, they're part of Your creation, Lord. I know one of them, Lord, he doesn't believe the way we do, but that doesn't matter, Lord. So we pray for him. We pray for Brother Mike Pierce. Lord, the mothers that are in the hospital, Lord, Brother Amos's, and I can't think of the name of the other person's mom. Lord, I pray, Father, that You'll just move on the scene for each one. And Lord, as we go into the service tonight, Lord, and our pastor comes forth, Lord, we're expecting, Lord. And Lord, that something's been becoming more and more real to me. And remember when I just first started reading the message and how Brother Bannon would say, to pray for revelation, pray for revelation. Didn't quite understand why he kept saying that, but now I do, because that's what we need to get out of here. So, Lord, we just commit everything to You. Thank You for this time again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Ron. God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here tonight in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming in the service tonight, we pray it'll be a blessing to those folks as well. You have come into this place tonight, and I trust you've come to worship.
Amen.
Enter into His courts with thanksgiving.
Amen.
Are you thankful tonight?
Amen.
Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let's invite Him to come and be in this house tonight. We're going to have some church here. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for some church tonight? A little girl was lying there. The people all were weeping. They just laughed at Jesus when he said she's only sleeping. As he took her by the hand, she began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord. Some began to say, he's in the house. Death had to flee. Now there is light where darkness used to be. Now there is hope. There's no more doubt. Praise his name. Praise his name. He's in the house.
We were like that little girl.
Say it, buddy.
Dead in all our sin.
Oh, yes, we were.
Jesus touched this heart of mine and gave me life.
Aren't you glad he's in this house? Amen. If we come together with him in these houses, he's going to fill this place. A little girl was lying there. The people all were weeping. Brother Harry, they just laughed at Jesus when he said she's only sleeping.
As he took her by the hand,
hallelujah,
she began to live.
Why don't you begin to live again tonight, church? Let him take you by the hand.
Some began to praise the Lord. Some began to say,
oh, he's in the
praise his name.
I'm gonna praise his Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you believe that tonight?
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. Brother Bill Yance is here in the house with us. And I want him to come and sing his favorite song that he likes to sing right here. I couldn't a bit more tell you the title of it than nothing, but you sang it the last two times you was here, Brother Bill. Come and sing it for us. Give him a big hand as he comes tonight. Appreciate Brother Bill, don't we? You're looking at a miracle walking down the aisle right there. God, he's a testimony of the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise tonight. God bless you, buddy. Good to see you. You sing us happy tonight.
Well, praise the Lord. Thank God, since I had a major stroke 16 months ago, I'm walking,
amen,
talking, eating, preaching. About anything I want to do. All I like is my crown mow, and I'll be ready to go. So I'm glad since that time I can just make a joyful noise unto the Lord as I sing. So if they'll give me G, we'll try it. I said, what you going to do when death comes creeping in the room? I said, what you going to do when death comes creeping in the room? I said, what you going to do when death comes creeping in the room? Oh, my Lord, oh, my Lord. What shall I do? What shall I do? I said, run. You better run. Because somebody's calling my name. I said, run. You better run. Because somebody's calling my name. I said, run. You better run. Because somebody's calling my name. Redemption's calling my name. I said, run. You better run. Because somebody's calling my name. I said, run. You better run. Because somebody's calling my name. I said, run. You better run. Because somebody's calling my name. Oh, my Lord. My Lord, what shall I do? Shall I do? I hope I wouldn't be out of order by just saying this, but I've got all of my medical records now for the last 16 months, and I didn't know, but I was dead for 5 hours when they took me in, and guess what? A little trip I got to go into glory when they thought I was dead. 25 years I've been looking for something. In Revelations 4, there's one set on the throne. Revelations 5, the first five verses, there's one set on the throne. But in Revelations 5:5, and the Lamb stood. And I saw it with my own eyes. I saw the Lamb when he no longer was sitting there. He stood with a book in his hand. And guess what? I saw my name in that book. So it wouldn't matter if Obama don't like me. It don't matter if nobody in the world don't like me. I done already saw my name. And so y'all want to go with me? I said, run. You better run, because somebody's calling my name. I said run, you better run, because somebody's calling my name. I said run, you better run, because somebody's calling my name. Oh my Lord, oh my Lord, what shall I do, what shall I do?
Praise the Lord. God bless you, saints. Are you happy to be in the house of God?
Amen.
Let's turn to the book of Colossians tonight, if you would. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. I'm going to speak to you tonight on seeing Him who is invisible.
Praise God.
Amen.
Seeing Him who is invisible. How are you going to do that, reckon? Seeing Him who is invisible. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, of course. Who is the image of the invisible God. The firstborn of every creature. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27. Speaking of Moses, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing Him who is invisible. So by faith he left Egypt, and this is the way he endured. Endured what? Endured the affliction, endured the trouble, endured all that he went through. This is the way he endured, as seeing Him who is invisible.
Amen.
You may not know it now, but one of the greatest challenges of your entire life will be able to see Him who is invisible and see Him in the right way. Let's pray. Father, we love You tonight. We're so grateful for the opportunity that we can come together again. Lord Jesus, thank You for Your divine presence that You're with us. And we know that You are because You promised in Your Word that when Your children are gathered together. So we ask tonight, Father, that You'd take Your Word. Catch us up into Your great presence. May we sit at the table of the King. And may we dine upon those things which You have prepared for us tonight, dear Father. For it's in the name of the Word, the Lord Jesus, that we ask. Amen. And the saints said,
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing Him who is invisible. You realize one of the great problems that people, religious people, Christians, we'll say it like that, have in trying to understand the Godhead. Is a preconceived idea of God being an old man, of God even being a man, of God being a being that is visible or a being that is tangible, as we would say, by matter or by time. But yet the Old Testament does not portray Him that way, nor does the New. But it is conceptions of man that will go into the Scripture and try to take those points which God left in the form of mystery. Now remember, the eternal was back in eternity before there was no time, there was no light, there was no atoms, there was no molecules, there was nothing, and it was the great eternal. He could not be understood. He could not even be able to reveal Himself to the elected because it would even overwhelm them. for him to reveal himself in that great, majestic, endless, invisible form that he was and is. So he chose and decided to reveal himself, but he must have a manner or a manifestation by which he can make himself known and make himself tangible and not change himself from the form of eternity that he was in. Now this is, of course, is the what Paul is writing it down when he says about Jesus Christ, that he was the image of the invisible God. So the Lord Jesus became the visible manifestation of the invisibility of the essential power of the Godhead. And the word, of course, Godhead in the New Testament is divine nature. So when we speak about the Godhead is not three persons. The Godhead is not just an essential of one person like your finger, but the word Elohim is actually plural. It is the term that is used, the Hebrew term that is used to define God in plurality. And this is where the people without revelation, they will look at the definition of the word. And if they see the word plurality, then they think three. No, there's a whole lot more than three, believe me. Because man was part of that plurality as well in the image of the living God. Now, let's look at Christ, the mystery of God revealed. Brother Bram says, now for a text I want to take out of there, this for a text, basing it upon the entire Bible. Now listen, Brother Branham is going to preach Christ, the mystery of God revealed. And he read his text about the preeminence of Christ in the church and all that. Now he says, I want to base it upon the entire Bible. So Christ, the mystery of God revealed, is based upon from Genesis plumb over to Revelation. Now, it will come to view then out of the historical parts of the Bible. It will come to view out of typology in the Bible. It will come into view out of prophecy in the Bible. It will come out of the poetic sense. It will come out of the Psalms. It will come out of Proverbs. It will come out of the mysterious form of the Word which was written in the lives of the individual. So when you listen to Christ, the mystery of God revealed, remember that Brother Branham is preaching it based upon the entire Bible. Now listen to this. He said, basing it upon the entire Bible, but I want us to title this, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Christ being the mystery of God revealed. Now he goes on to say, now God's secret mystery he had before the world began. Now back in the back part of God's mind, there was something that he was trying and going to achieve. And he had a motive in doing it in order to let himself be expressed. Because first there wasn't even a moon, star, atom, molecule, or anything. Oh my. He was God. But he exactly wasn't God at the time, because God is an object of worship and there wasn't nothing to worship him. So in his great mind, he wanted these attributes to be expressed. And in him was love. In him was to be Father. In him was to be Son. Now listen, in him was to be Father. In him was to be Son. In him was to be Savior. In him was to be Healer. All these great attributes that we see already expressed, they were in God. So Father is an attribute. Son is an attribute. Holy Ghost is an attribute. Savior is an attribute. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Tizkenu, Jehovah our banner, Jehovah our righteousness, Jehovah our shelter. All of this, what was it? Attributes in one God. Not three gods sitting up on a throne somewhere, but one God. Now watch, he said, so my opinion, the first thing that he made was angels. Now notice the order in which Godhead expresses itself. So the invisible God becomes made known by the things which are created into the realm of visibility. Now listen carefully. The invisible God is made known by the things which he creates and brings into the realm of visibility. So invisibility is declared or are manifested by visibility. Things which the attributes take form in the way of matter or in time, and in that the invisible God declares his attributes. Now, he will never be like a man. Don't you ever get in your mind that God, dwelling in this great immortal light, invisible, only wise God, he will never be an old man sitting on the throne. That is conjured up by tradition. That's not what God is. He never was that. He never will be that. Glory. You with me? Okay. All right. Now watch this. So my opinion, the first thing that he made was angels. Now, in order to unfold himself, he must do it in his own order of his own divine choosing. So he wants, the first thing he wants to become, he doesn't want to become Savior first or healer first. He doesn't actually want to become Father first or Son first or Holy Ghost first. But what he wants to become first is God. Now, this is in the line of creation, and this is the regular line of the order of the display of his attributes. Now, he could have chose anyone that he wanted to choose to manifest first, but he chose the attribute to become God. Now, remember, he's the eternal. There's no time. There's no light. There's no science. There's no atoms. There's no molecules. There's no man. There's no angels. There's no cherubims. There's nothing there but the eternal, which is the source of all eternal life. So he wants to bring himself into time. He wants to express himself, and he starts with the very first attribute of the Godhead being expressed, and that was being God. Now notice he said he made angels and they worshiped him, and that made him God. That made him God. That made him God. So the creation then out of God is he creates, and he makes millions and millions of angels, how many ever that there are. And he makes angels and he creates them by degrees. We know cherubim, seraphim, zoons. He creates them by degrees and orders. And then whenever these angels start worshiping him, then it brings him into the state of being God. So now the invisible creator is made manifest by visible beings which are around him, which are angels. You understand so far? Now watch. Now what happened was that then the angels, when they began to worship him, that was before there was even a molecule in the earth. So what we're talking about now in this stage of the creation, the universe is not even to existence. There's no planets. There's none of that. So it's back into eternity, not in the universe. Now God is not measured, of course, by light years and time and all that, but back into eternity before there was a universe, before there was the sun and moon and stars, he created the angels, then he becomes God. Now he wants to expand the creation a little bit farther. Now notice there was nothing. It was all darkness. There wasn't no sun, nor moon, no stars, no nothing. Then he was God. As he asked Job, where was you when I laid the foundations of the world? When the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. See? Now, where were you? That's a good question for you to ask yourself. Where were you? See, that was way back before the earth. You don't remember it? I don't remember it because we were not physically manifested. But if we ever have eternal life, we were part of those thoughts. We were back there with him. Exactly right. As a matter of fact, the prophet said it this way, that whenever he saw our names being written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, we were rejoicing. That was our identity back before eternity. Now watch, he said, that's what I want to speak on to the church this morning. The hidden mystery of God that he had in his mind before the world ever began. And how it's unfolded itself right down to the present hour that we're living in. Now notice this is 7/28/1963. Now do you understand that for the first time since eternity started budding forth into time, that man is now going to be privileged to hear the divine order of God in a way that had never been heard before. Paul had never been allowed to preach it this way. Calvin, Knox, Finney, all the Clark and all those great men, they would get bits and pieces of this and that and the other. But it had unfolded itself now to July 28, 1963. And you understand, it's going right on down to where we are right now. My brother, sister, it did not stop at Brother Branham. It did not stop back there 20, 30 years ago. But the mystery of God is still unfolding tonight. Because we are part of that mystery. Because Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Hallelujah. Now remember, as I told you, one of the great things, challenges of your life is being able to see Him who is invisible. But the tricky part is when the invisible God begins to manifest Himself in visibility or in time, Satan has found that he can be able to take the manifestation and try to disguise it in the eyes of people so they don't know what to look for. Well, then he will, by tradition, he will begin to shape preconceived ideas, and they're looking for the invisible God and they're trying to search for Him, and He will give them, well, He's this way, and God is an old man, and Jesus is a younger man, and the Holy Ghost is sort of a man and sort of a spirit. He's kind of a morphed into some kind of something or other. Don't you know what He's doing? He's trying to mess up their mind when the invisible God is the current Himself. He tells them there's a Trinity so that He can make idol worshipers out of them. Right, what the prophet said, no one wants end time, make a heathen out of you. Now watch this, he said, that's what I want to speak on, the hidden mystery of God that he had in his mind, that's unfolded itself right down to this present hour that we're living. See, then you will understand clearly, you'll say, I believe what is being done. Now notice this part of it, that Christ must be hid in order for the manifestation of God to be fully kept secret until the end time. Paul did not need to understand it quite like we do today. Neither did Peter, James, the rest of them. It was not given for that time. Notice this. He says, He is the principal theme of the Bible. He was in the prophets. He was in the Psalms. He was in the history of the Bible. The Bible is a prophetic book. It's a historical book. It's a book of love. It's a book, oh glory. It's a book of songs. It's a book of life. So it's a historical book, it's a prophetic book, it's a book of songs, it's a book of mystery, it's a book of life. All of it contained right here in your Bible. What a powerful book you brought to church tonight under your arm. Now notice, he was in the prophets. He was in the Psalms. He was in the history. Also in the Bible is the things that is to come. He was before and till after. What does that make him then? The same yesterday, today, and forever. Now I want you to notice now the title of his sermon. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. The title of his sermon is not Jesus is the mystery of God revealed. Uh-oh, now your toes is going to start wrinkling up in your shoes. And your amens are going to get sparse on me. Now, I'm not renaming this. This is what he named it. Now remember, the manifestation of God was revealed through Christ. Jesus had a day he started. Now come on, friends, don't sit there and look at me like that. I'm quoting to you from who is Melchizedek. Jesus had a day he started and Jesus had a day he died, but Christ could not die. Oh, glory be to God. Now, if we're talking about overcoming in this day, we've got to find out what to overcome and how to overcome. And we've got to let Christ declare to us the enemies. In every day, the enemy might change. In one dispensation under Moses, it might be the Amalekites. Under the dispensation in David, it would be the Philistines. Under another, it might be the Hittites. It might be there. How are you going to know who to fight unless the word of the age declares it? People don't know who to fight today. They don't know who the real enemy is. That's why they fight this for a while and then they fight that for a while. If I'm going to fight and be all wore out, I at least want to know I'm fighting the right enemy. I mean, wouldn't it be awful to waste all of your life? People are fighting us, they're fighting Brother Branham. You know what? They're fighting the wrong one. We're not their enemy. What is this message done but set people free and deliver those that are lost and set folks free from cigarettes and smoking and drugs? Tell me, what's it done? Oh my. So Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Now watch, God chose to reveal himself, at least in this aspect of the mystery. God has a threefold purpose in this great mystery secret. God in his great mystery secret that he had before the world began, he's got a threefold purpose in it. And now he wanted to go upon that this morning, is what is that threefold purpose? Now the first thing was that God wanted to reveal himself to people. Now listen to this. He wanted to reveal himself as people, but he couldn't do it as great Jehovah God who covered all space, time, and eternity. He could not. He is too great to ever be revealed to people. He's too great to ever be revealed to people because it would be too mysterious. And you think you've got him figured out. He just fits right there in your shirt pocket. Come on, wake up. If he ever chose to reveal himself the way he is, even the elect of the prophet said they wouldn't be able to comprehend it. He must condescend to a revealable form by which he can morph himself in a form that his children can be able to comprehend it. Much less the world out here. Now watch this. He's too great to ever be revealed to people because it would be too mysterious. How could that great being, now watch how he describes it, that never did begin, that after you went beyond the cycle of hundreds of billions and trillions of years of light space, not time, but light space. Now, you know, of course, what a light year is. A light year is the amount of distance that light will travel in a year's time, which is 5.88 trillion miles a year. Now, with that in mind, let's read this quote again. After you went beyond the cycle of hundreds of billions and trillions of years of light space, and out unto the infinite, into the eternity, and a great creature that was all that, and still is. And what was that problem you brought to church with that was so big God couldn't take care of it? Lord have mercy, children. What's a past due life payment, or a past due a plumbing payment, or a headache, or a cancer, or anything else we could ever face compared to this great Father of ours? Now watch, let's look at this again in Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Now watch Paul again in Romans chapter 1:20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Listen. The invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. But how are they seen? Being understood by the things that are made. So the invisible is made manifest by the visible. You follow me so far? Now this is your Bible. This is what the Bible says. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. But are they clearly seen by us? Are they clearly seen by the church? Are they clearly seen? When people look into the Word of God, do they clearly see why we need a message in this day? Why we needed a prophet? Why we need to go to church? Why we need a pastor? Why we need to do this and don't do that, do that? Do they see it? Most of them do not. Why? Because they don't have the ability to see the invisible God. Oh, they're still looking way out yonder. You don't see Him by that. You see Him by the way He declares Himself in the things of time. You follow me? By the way He expresses Himself in time. So if God sends forth a messenger of that day, the way you'll catch the invisibility of God is by the visibility of that messenger as he brings forth the Word of God and says, do this, do this, don't do that, don't go there. That is the visibility of the traits of the invisible God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, which is divine nature. Now what? So you believe with me then that the eternal is invisible. Well, what the rest of y'all believe? You believe He is invisible. Not only was, but still is. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 17, when you listen to the unveiling of God, you hear Brother Branham refer to this. He said, I'd like for you to read that scripture sometime. 1 Timothy 1:17. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. Gods or God? Be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible,
the only wise God. Amen. Not an old man, not sitting there in a visible body. Invisible. Invisible. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16. Now let's see where this invisible being dwells. Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light. Now remember, John declares the ultimate essence of God's character, that God is light, God is love, God is the Word. He declares a display of God's characteristics and attributes that neither Matthew, Mark, or Luke was able to write, because in there projected God, the book of John, is the book of love to the elect. So here we see that God is light, God is spirit, and God is truth, and all these things about God. Nowhere do you find them saying that God is an old man, or that God is a man as if he was sitting on a throne as a man. Oh, but Brother Donnie, right hand. Right hand don't mean God's got a hand like this. It's excellency of power and authority. So the invisible God is made known by the things He creates in the realm of visibility. And then when we look at what God is doing by the work of creation, that is a manifestation of the Father God. When Jesus said, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and it will satisfy us. He said, have I been with you so long and you don't know me? And the prophet of God said, when you see the Word made manifest, you have seen the Father God. So when we see the decreed Word, the declaration of the message of this hour, we have seen the Father God. We have seen the invisible God made manifest by terms of visibility. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Of course, we're astronauts. So you see, we don't fly in a plane like this. We say, okay, we're coming into Dallas. Man, we're going to have to delay our flight. They got thunderstorms coming in. You know why? They need visibility in order to land. But once we head out of here, we go through the Earth's atmosphere so fast we ain't going to do much bumping, because we're going to go through them clouds and them thunderheads and all that sort of thing. Why? We are astronauts. Too many of us have still got airplane thinking. We've still got airplane theology. We need to move beyond the days of the Pentecostal, so much airplane of our theology. We're too earthbound. Oh, no. Oh, no. They're giving a storm. Oh, my, my. This storm's about to get me down. What? Get you down. You're an astronaut. Clouds don't bother you. Storms of life, sure you're going to have them. But you're an astronaut. Go straight through it. Now listen what God dwells in. Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto. Whom no man has seen, nor can see. To whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Now the light where God dwells. Now hang on. This is what was still in heaven when Jesus was on the earth. This is why Satan was so confused. He could see him walk on water. He could see him raise the dead. He could see him do all these things. But if he'd go back up before the throne of God, there was this light which was unapproachable. There was this dynamic brilliance which heaven itself is, that brilliance of light. And we know that the person of God emanating from that light is so present, so beautiful and so perfect. And the invisibility of that God cloaked in behind that. But Satan did not know that God had the ability to project the attribute of the fullness of the Godhead bodily and project it down into that human body and never even hamper that light at all. So when he go back before the throne of God, or go back into heaven, there that light was emanating around like a pillar of fire. That yellowish green, and he couldn't see no change. Of course he couldn't. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. He couldn't see no difference. He thought, well, this man just must be a real powerful prophet on steroids. Man, I'm telling you what, I ain't never seen one like this guy before. He would have never crucified him if he'd have known it was God. He would have never crucified him if he would have known what was going on. The light was still there. The invisibility of the essential Godhead is shown
when Jesus himself speaks of the immortal, invisible God, when he says, God is a spirit, not God is a man. God was not a man, is not a man. Jesus was. Oh, said, Brother Donnie, you got two people. No, I got two attributes. My soul is not my spirit, and my spirit is not my body, and my body is not my soul. But what are the attributes of me? Put them all three together, and you got me. Well, I can lump it. That's what I am. You can say things about my soul you can't say about my spirit. There's things you can say about my body you can't say about either one. But yeah, you take one of them out and I'll fall dead on the pulpit here. If my spirit was to go, I'd lose my mind, which is what happens to insane people. Their spirit somehow disembodies from their body. And they go out, the prophet had to go out and search the spirit, bring the spirit back. Once he did, then the right mind came back to him. Come on. But you realize all of those make me. All of those make me. It is an attribute of you and I. This is the way God is. God is revealed in this manifestation of attributes. And what Satan wanted to do is to make persons. Because every person you add to the Godhead, you weaken the power of the Godhead and the manifestation in your life. So you know what he done? Some of the Trinitarians had come to the message and they never did really get born of the Word. What they started preaching was two Lords. Yeah, they can't go fully back to Trinity, so they got two Lords. You know what? They're as weak as the Trinitarians are. You show me one of them that preaches this stuff, show me an overcoming life, show me power in their church, show me power of the move of God. They ain't got no move of God. You can't have a move of God with two gods. You can't have a move of God with three gods. The only way to have a move of God is to have this invisible God in your visible realm. That's the only way. In order for him to be understood, he must be understood through Christ. Exodus chapter 24, verse 16. The glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day, he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now, I'm not sure if science, if they had science back then, they took pictures and sent pictures all over the universities and whatever more, trying to figure out how that cloud was and if it appeared or disappeared or appeared on a certain day. Brother Donnie, you weren't there. Do you believe it? I do. Was any of you there? Really? No? But you all believe it? You take this prophet's word. Now remember, Moses was the one who wrote the book of Exodus, so he's actually writing about his own experiences. So you actually believe that the cloud come down. Now it hangs there for 6 days, and on the seventh day, notice God speaks out of the cloud to his prophet. Glory! The glory of God hung on these seven church ages. But brother, on this seventh age, the Spirit of God, hallelujah, the Spirit of God spoke out of the cloud to his prophet messenger. If you don't want to believe it, perfectly fine, I do. If you don't want to take it, fine, I do. And while you're sitting there twiddling your thumbs, my thumbs are going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, because I believe this word. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Now watch in verse 17. And the sight of the glory of the Lord. Notice not the sight of the Lord. But the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. Now this is what it appeared like to them. So here's this fire, and it looks like it's devouring and burning. And I'm glad God still got some preachers that's anointed with this devouring fire. Boy, they go to preaching the Holy Ghost just like it devours us. I'm glad this is my God. Chapter 40, verse 34. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. I want you to notice what their church was called. Once they built it according to the program of God, the church building was actually called after the name of the people. The tabernacle, the tent of the congregation. And the congregation never even was allowed to step into it. Only the priests and the high priests and the Levites and all that. Yet God named that tent not the tabernacle of Elohim, not the tabernacle of Jehovah Jireh, but the tabernacle of the congregation.
Oh, hallelujah. Don't you understand what it was? Prophetic. It was prophetic. This was Christ. Why call it that, Brother Darrell? Pointing to a day when you and I would set here on Saturday night. Hallelujah. And be filled with that same glory of God. That we would be the tabernacle or the tent of deity. We would bear in our bodies eternal life. The tabernacle of the congregation. Verse 35, and Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Notice what the message ultimately leads to. Now the Ten Commandments has been revealed. The Levitical laws, many of them have already been revealed. And where did the glory go? The glory didn't hang over the Ten Commandments. The glory didn't hang just over the prophet. But the glory was to go into the tabernacle of the congregation. Not just the preachers, not just the deacons, but you lay members have got just as much right to deity as I do or any other preacher. Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 26. Ezekiel is able to see the glory of God. God manifested a little bit different unfolding of his attributes than what they see it here in Exodus. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man upon it. Not a man, but the appearance of a man. Now remember, God did not have a permanent flesh body at this time. If he wanted one, he'd just create one, step into it, and step back out, and he'd go right back into that light again. Don't you understand one reason why Jesus said to come to the earth? God needed a permanent human body. This is my part of the earth. This is my part. God wanted a tabernacle. God wanted a permanent body. Hallelujah. Moving from body to body was perfect in the Old Testament because it typed Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. But coming to the New Testament, God needed a body to live in because he wasn't going to move from tent to tent, body to body. Hallelujah. He was going to come and veil inside of there and seal them tabernacles. Now notice what Ezekiel sees. The throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about was in it. Now it looks like the appearance of a man above the throne, but there's also this fire, this burning, brilliant light. That's my daddy. Praise the Lord. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Does not the Bible also say our God is a consuming fire? Don't you see why you had to get the Holy Ghost with a lick of fire? What is it? A little lick off the big one. Hallelujah. Amen. That pillar of fire didn't come down and give them a book. Here's your book and here's your book and here's your book. What? It was their own personal lick of fire. Amen. You call me foolish, call me crazy. I've got my own lick of fire as well. He didn't give me ashes. He didn't give me a piece of coal. But I've got, amen, I've got fire off of that original fire just like Peter had. I come from this throne. I come from this essence of brilliance and fire and light. That's why I love light on the Word. So we walk in the light as he is in the light. That's why some folks can't. Now watch. The appearance of the color of amber, whether it's the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward. And from the appearance of his loins even downward. Notice where Ezekiel, the focal point that Ezekiel sees, the midsection. the life, progenitor of life. You don't remember it, but you was there. Oh, sure, that's what the prophet said. We was in his loins. Absolutely right. Notice this, even downward, and I saw as it were the appearance of fire. Notice the words now that's being used. The appearance of this and the appearance of that. So which is something that has a similitude or a likeness. The appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of a bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain. So was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Notice, this was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. He is not seeing a man now. He's not seeing an old God, old man God, sitting up on the throne with this big long beard and a real deep voice. He's seeing the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Because this is what Father is. Not a man. Future home, city with the throne on the top of it, Revelation 21, 23, and they need no night, for the Lamb and the Lord God is the light thereof. See, the Lord God is that pillar of fire that followed the children of Israel through the wilderness, and He is ascended up on the throne. Notice Jesus, when He comes to the earth and He preaches this great message in Matthew 5 called the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount. Look at that sermon. It is the contents of divine nature. What is being spoken there is absolutely impossible for the people at that time to ever produce it. But the headstone was on the Mount, preaching the Sermon on the Mount prophetically to a people that would be able to build up in this holy image of God. And there He was, the capstone on top of the mount, preaching something that His body would be able to achieve through by a new birth. Oh, hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. I believe He's here. I believe that sermon is not just being preached on the mount, but that capstone is coming down on the mount. Now watch the ascension of our Father. He's ascended up. Now here comes the Lord Jesus. He ascended up on the throne in that perfect kingdom. When time, the kingdom that Jesus is surrendered to the Father, that God might be all in all. Now remember, that's exactly scripture. That's what Paul said, that the Lord Jesus, when all the enemies will be destroyed, then He will turn the kingdom over to God. What is this? What God? An old man? This light. This invisible, immortal, only wise God. Then Jesus walks up, the body, the glorified body, walks up and sits on this throne and sits down engulfed in the Father. Now here is the Father, not an old man, and an old man sitting here and a little boy sitting over here with a smaller throne and a smaller hand and a littler guy, but He actually sits down. Lord, have mercy, God. Amen. Do you see Him, children? Do you see the invisible one made manifest? Notice this. Jesus sits upon His throne here as our Joseph. And the King is that light that will be on top of Mount Zion. The King, Father God, will be that great brilliant light that will flood down through the whole city. There's the Father. Amen. There's the Father and what we call the Son going back together like this, not like this. Oh, hallelujah. I come from God and I go to God. Amen. Let me move it on down a little bit. The bride come from God and the bride's going back to God. I made up my mind. I was kind of going to try to be nice tonight when I preach this, but I think I changed my mind. Woo! Notice this. And the King is that light. Not an old man. The King is that light. Don't you understand? To reject the light of your day is to reject the attribute of the King of the city. You say, what's this got to do with overcoming? The only way we can overcome is overcome by the Word. And the Word must be illuminated by the light of the day. So God sends a messenger in each age. And He says, this is the light of your day. This is what to do. This is what to fight. This is what to pull away from. And we do that. And our bodies are changed by obeying it. Now watch this. On top of Mount Zion will set the Lamb. And the city will need no light, for the Lamb is the light thereof. And above the Lamb will be the Father, which is the Logos. God, the great light, the eternal light that'll shine just above the throne. So not like this, but like this. If you don't understand it, say, God help me. This is what you're going to see through eternity. When we walk up to that city, because this is our home, this is where we're going to live. And when we walk up to that throne of God, there will be one person on that throne, not three. There will be one person on that throne, and then our bodies will be changed, and we will be allowed an entrance into this Godhead, into this light that we could not take right now. It would kill us. If we would reveal a little bit of this, Brother Dale, it would absolutely kill us. There's no way we could take it, even in our glorified bodies. I'm not even sure how much we can take in that. You know, Brother Bram said God had never been seen and never will be seen. It makes you wonder through eternity how much of His great being will even be unfolded. But as we walk up before the throne of God, that will be our Joseph, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, sitting on the throne of God, emerge right back into this invisible, only wise God, immortal. Hallelujah. But yet this is the tangibility. This is the visibility by which we approach God. And we will come up before the throne of God and worship and adore and sing and magnify. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Lord Jesus has turned this perfect kingdom back over to this immortal, invisible, only wise God. And we will live in this city throughout eternity, dwelling in the light, because you followed the light of your age. Glory! Glory! Above the Lamb will be the Father, which is the Logos, God, the great light, the eternal light that'll shine just above the throne. And Jesus will not be on His Father's throne. He'll be on His throne. And the Father will hover over the Son. Not like this now. Not an old man and a young boy. Like this. This is true oneness. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Lord Jesus. And the Father will hover over the Son, which the Father and the Son will be one. And while they are yet speaking, I'll answer. And before they can think, I'm thinking for them. That's right. And Jesus will commit a perfect, perfect age to the perfect living God that He has redeemed and give over to the Father. Is that right? We'll turn to God the Father, which is Spirit, not Amen. Don't you see, friends, why folks get the Godhead messed up? They make God a man. God was not, is not a man. Now, what's the extraordinary approach of divinity to humanity? Unlike our ways, it seems backwards, sideways, whatever to us. I love the way Brother Ram expresses this in Christ the Mystery. He loved fatherhood, for He was a father. And the only way He could express it was to become a son of man.
So when your brothers wanted to become fathers, did you express it by becoming a son? We do it backwards. We're first sons, then we become fathers. But in order for God to do it this way, he had to become a son in order to truly be a father. Glory to God.
And it could not be that great, brilliant Shekinah light. It would kill everybody on the earth. So he uses a channel. He uses a condescension attribute, which is Christ. Now, I'm not talking about the Christ that is so loved and so pauper by this bunch of vain, worldly, loving Laodiceans. The Christ they have in their mind lets them drink and smoke and run around and do anything they want to do. They can believe whatever part of the Bible they want, whatever part they don't want. They don't have to believe it. That's their notion of a Christ. I ain't talking about that Christ. I'm talking about that Christ that was the attribute of God. And that Christ will anoint you and I to say amen to every word of God. He will not pick and choose. That's not the Christ I'm talking about.
The only way he could express it was to become a son of man. That's the reason Jesus kept saying the son of man. Now notice in the same quote he goes on to say, he wanted to express himself. That was one of his great threefold purposes, was to express himself, identify himself with human beings, to reveal himself in Christ. Secondly, to have the preeminence in his body of believers. Wow. So of all the moon, the earth, the stars, the universe, the suns, all that out there, we are God's second priority. I rank higher than this earth. You rank higher than the universes, the worlds. One of the main reasons he needed an earth was simply a scrapyard to get material to make my body out of. It's like going down to Lowe's to buy 2x4s and 2x6s and shingles and nails and roof and nails and all this, that, and other. You've got to have somewhere to work out of. God needed an earth to work out of. Woo! Notice this. Secondly, to have the preeminence in his body of believers, that is his bride, that he might live in people. Yes, sir. There is no way you and I see that the way he saw it. Not in the millennium now. Not in eternity. But while we're in time in these church ages, in these tabernacles of humiliation, he wanted to live in my body. I don't even want to live in it. You know what I mean? I mean, I get homesick. I'm saying, Lord, I'm ready to leave this place. Let me out of here. Please, somebody open the door. Let me fly like a bird. Set me free. I want to get out of here. But he said, no, I want to live in that. He said, why, Lord? Why? That he might live in people. Now, he could do that in Adam and Eve, but sin separated them. So now, there had to be some way to get it back again. Oh, my. Well, now, this is rich to me just even think of it. See what God's purpose was? Now, he didn't just keep Adam and Eve like that. Why didn't he do it? Why didn't he just say, I'm not going to let them fall. I'm just going to make them not fall. Then he would have never been able to express his fullness. His full attribute. Because he could have been a father there. That's true. But also, he's a savior. You say, how do you know it was? Because I've had the experience. Now watch this. What's this saying? Because I've had the experience. So here is, by the work of creation, the invisible creator made manifest. Don't you understand? Whenever you say, I've had the experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you are giving visibility to the invisible power of God. When God saves you, I've had the experience too. Then what the works of creation are made manifest as we experience, oh God, why did God let me get sick? Maybe he wanted to express his miraculous power of healing and deliverance. So you would be a creature by which God could be able to express his working power and give God visibility. Oh, my. Lord Jesus. He's a Savior. How do you know he was? Because I've had the experience. He's a Savior. He had to express that. How could he do it? Only through Christ. How can he be a son? Only through Christ. How can he be a healer? Only through Christ. All things are wound up in that one person, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Genesis chapter 1 verse 26.
And God said, let us make man. Let us, plural, make man in our, plural, image, singular.
Oh, now, wait a minute. If you had a father, which is an old man, and you had a son, which is a younger man, and they were both talking, and then the Holy Ghost was in part of the conversation or somehow, and that they were all three talking. And then God being the oldest, of course, you respect your elders, God being the oldest, and then God spoke up and said, let us make man in our images. Now, wait a minute. If you've got three different people there, can you imagine me and Brother Horn and Brother Keith there? And we're going to say, well, we're going to make a man in our image. Well, you're going to say, well, which image? No, in our image. That's totally impossible. Unless you're going to take his nose, his ear, my fingernails, and, you know, whatever more, and try to make us together. My, wouldn't that be something? Be a Frankenstein, wouldn't it? So notice God's term, though. Let us make man in our image, singular, after our likeness, singular, not images, plural, or likenesses, plural. So here there is a plurality that is being spoken, but when it comes down to the image that is going to be made after, it is not three, but one. Now, when God made man, was there three men standing there? And one of them was called Adam the Father, and the other was called Adam the Son, and the other was called Adam the Holy Ghost. Now, if you're going to make three men like the Trinity and try to project this, it'd have to be three Adams standing there because one would have to look like God, one like the Son, one like the Holy Ghost. Unless, of course, they've only got one visible image. Now, invisible could speak to visible and say, let us, and still only have one image. Lord have mercy. Well, you say, what are you saying, Brother Donnie? Just like my soul tells my body, this is Saturday, we're going to church. And my body may say, no, I'm too tired. But my invisible tells my visible, I need your hands to drive me to church. I need your hands. I need your hands to start the vehicle. I need your knees to get down and pray. So the invisible is telling my visible, we're going to the house of God. And finally my visible says, okay, I'll go with you. So the invisible said to the visible, let us make man after our visibility. Lord Jesus. God said. The gods didn't say, but God said. God said, let us, visible and invisible. Oh, you say there was something there visible? Sure, by this time, the beginning of the creation of God has already stepped out of the light. In form of theophany. He started creating himself toward flesh. So he made himself a body, sort of like yours. You see, Jesus' name was put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, the same time yours was. I'll let you ponder on that and then I'll read it to you. His name was put on the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, if you're going to have a Lamb's Book of Life, surely the Lamb's name ought to be the first one, wouldn't you think so? So his name was put on the Lamb's Book of Life. But instead of coming like you and I are going to come, he's going to come the regular line. So it comes straight from the attribute to the spoken word, which is the theophany body. This is what could appear and disappear. This was Christ and not Jesus. Boy, you Jesus owners are having a hard time with this, ain't you?
Now watch this. So God said, let us make man in our image, visibility and invisibility, and our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl, over the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, one image, And in the image of God created he him, male and female created. You mean the image of God is male and female? Now, if Adam is made in the image of God, there ain't no way in the world that you can have this being here that does not have female inside of him, and then you make this one and it has male and female. Lord have mercy. If he was made in the image of God and male and female created him, then he was made in an antitype of what? Of that reality that the female was in God's attributes. Now, you are not little children around the throne of God because we do not believe in preexistence. But as Eve was in Adam's body, so were you in Christ's theophany. Lord have mercy. Hallelujah. You were part of that attributes of the Word. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, people with a Trinitarian background, what do? They get in their mind, God's an old man, here's this little boy sitting right here. So that's the way they read the Bible. God ain't got no hand. Not like that. He's invisible. Now watch, in the ancient world, I found this in history that I want to read to you. In the ancient world, an image was believed to carry the essence of that which it represented. An idol image of deity, the same terminology is used, it would be used in the worship of that deity because it contained the deity's essence. So then whenever these people would worship Baal and they'd worship Astaroth and they'd worship Diana and they'd worship all these different gods, then they would make these little miniature Baals and miniature Astaroth and miniatures. Now they did not believe that idol, that it was a god. But they believed because that little image was made like the big image, that in essence it contained the image's deity, Lord Jesus. So you've got this gigantic image of Diana, you know, which is 67 feet or something like that. And there's no way in the world everybody can pack an image of Diana around. So they would have artisans that would craft a small image of Diana so you could set in your home and maybe one you put in your buggy at Walmart. And whenever you go here, there. And everything that the big Diana was, the little Diana was. Amen. Because this is the image of what they thought the God is. So don't you understand? When God makes man in his own image, here is the little statue of what the big one is. Lord have mercy. And when Jesus comes on the earth, he is the image of the invisible God. So everything that God was in the image on the earth. Hallelujah! Let's stand. If we go on much farther, I'm going to be dead. Oh, Lord, children. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! So they did not believe that this little idol could do the same thing this one did. But its representation was, it gave them that encouragement. Because the essence of that deity was in the small image. You imagine when the people looking at the Lord Jesus, there's no way in the world they would believe. There's no way in the world they'd believe that's the Jehovah God that thundered on Sinai and rode back the Red Sea. Just a little bitty old guy, weigh 110 pounds, 120 pounds, whatever it was, small man. There's no way in the world. But you see, those who have contact to the light around the throne have the ability to see the invisible made manifest in the visible. Glory to God. Let's bring it on down. Let's not stop there. What about on the day of Pentecost? Come right on down. What about through Luther? What about through Wesley? What about through Pentecost? What about through the messenger of Malachi 4? What about right now where we are? What about right now? Oh, it's wonderful to point back to 63, 4, and 5. But can we see that same invisible God right here at Happy Valley, right here tonight? That same, have you heard the voice of your Father speaking through this human clay? Can you imagine, Lord, have mercy, children, in this age, for the very first time since it went out of the mind of God, preachers are preaching things and the angels must attend some of these meetings of men of God, and they must leave these services absolutely spellbound because sons of God are preaching things that the angels don't even understand. They don't even know. For the first time, you imagine them angels under the anticipation as they gathered in March in 1960. When them seven seals had been broken open every day and them angels didn't even know what was going on. They never even knew what was happening. Can you imagine when he stands down and preaches, who is Melchizedek? And the angels of God are standing there spellbound. Can you imagine when some of these men of God are bringing forth the word of life in this hour and the angels of God are standing there almost breathless as they're hearing sons of God? Who has the most authority, a son of God or an angel? A son of God does. God did not commit the word to angels, but to sons. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father. Oh my God. My great King, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Help me, Lord Jesus. Help me to see you in my life. If I'd been living the days of Noah or Moses or Jeremiah or Ezekiel, I would have had to see the word identified with those men of God to catch the illumination of light for the day I lived. Now, Lord, we're living in that transition time after the prophet messenger is gone. You must allow Satan an increment of time to challenge what has been spoken. Everything's going like it's supposed to, really. It would have been breaking every one of your types if the rapture would have come and Brother Branham was still here. Satan wouldn't have had a full-blown opportunity to attack the message. So you take your prophet. Worms come from within. Demons come from without. Everywhere we look, Satan trying to knock it down. He's allowed to do that. And it will stand the test of time. It will stand the sarcasm. It will stand the ridicule. Because it come from you, Lord. We're able to look and see the invisible God made manifest by the things He has created. Lord Jesus, help us to bring it on down now, Father. Not just stop with the prophet, but bring it on down to our lives. Our brothers, our sisters, the folks we go to church with. Help us to not get our eyes on the human part. Because even though the invisible indwells in our bodies, the bodies are still not yet redeemed. So we can clash with one another. Have hard feelings with one another. And things about one another that we don't even like. That don't mean we're not children of God. That don't mean we're not going to heaven together. That's just another reason why we need a body change. Because there's things left in our body by natural breeding that we clash one with the other. But there ain't no way my Holy Ghost could clash with somebody else's. Or theirs with mine. Deity can't clash with deity. But humanity clashes with humanity constantly. Open my eyes, Lord. Open my eyes. May the invisible one, hallelujah, you who have heard your voice, you've spoken to me time and time again. I've seen your presence. Jesus, I must be honest with you, sir. I long for the day when I'll be able to touch you. Oh, hallelujah. I long for the day when I'll be able to bow at your feet. I'm not a great person, so I won't have many trophies to lay there, so it probably won't take me long. But could I have
just some time just to look at you and touch you. Find me. Visibility before me. Tangible. A body I can touch and feel and hold. Oh, Lord God. Hallelujah. I'm not a selfish person, Lord. I've never asked you for many things in life. You know that. And I don't think this is being selfish. But when we get there, I want my time. I want my time before you, Lord Jesus. I'll gladly wait till the last one. If there's 5,000,987 in front of me, and I'm the very last one. If it takes 10,387 years till I get my turn, that'll only seem like a moment. I'll stand there and wait with anticipation till I get my turn to see you, to touch you, to talk to you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Can we just raise our hands in the presence of this invisible God? Hallelujah. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. Do you understand if you're living in this word by revelation? In this message, you believe it. Not because mama did, daddy did, but God's light revealed it to you. It's that portion of God from around the throne that connects you to His very being. And that light illuminated your past. Don't you see what the rapture is? It's the gathering of the light. The light rays that went out like the rainbow make seven different distinct colors. The spirits of God went out. The spirit of God manifold in seven different church ages. It'll manifest and bring forth the covenant right back around the throne of God. Where will you be gathered? Just like the rainbow. Right back around the throne of God where you belong. Hallelujah. You left there as an attribute. But you'll come back a man or a woman. Glory! You left the mind of God as an attribute. You had no eyes. You had no hair. You had no arms. But you come to this earth to get your eye color, your hair color. You come to this earth to get your own tangibility, to become visible. Amen. And when we gather back around there, we won't gather there as attributes of no names, attributes of no hands. But we'll stand there by the millions. And we'll have hands and feet and eyes and hair, mouths. Glory to God. Oh, glory! And we'll worship and adore. And we'll merge in around that throne. Hallelujah. And merge into that Shekinah light. Why? It is our Father. It is the very light that illuminated you. And your mama said, you better get away from that church. You better leave that message stuff alone. That's a bunch of false prophecy. But you couldn't leave it alone. There's something from the throne of God calling you. Amen. What was it? There was a seed of life down inside of you, little ego. The light of God of this day comes swooping over that barnyard where you was at and it called out. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The invisible light struck that invisible seed and made a visible change in the way you acted. You cleaned up your closet. You cleaned up your act. You cleaned up the way you talked. Hallelujah! And the invisible was made manifest by the visible action you expressed. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Oh, my God. My God, we worship you, Lord. Lord Jesus, we adore you. We exalt your name. Lord, may we have just a little bit of our future blessing fall among us tonight. May that light pass this way and illuminate our souls. Lord, I'm not asking you for us to shout or jump or all that. That's good, and we believe in that too. But, oh Lord, if you'll pass this way tonight, light, illuminate me. Shine upon my heart. Show me who I am a little greater. Then I'll shout. I'll have something to shout about that'll last. Oh, light of God, pass through this place tonight. Light of God, pass through those that are streaming the service. Light of God, pass through our hearts. Illuminate your past. Illuminate your word. Illuminate your call in our lives, oh God, that we can see more clearly who we are. May we see, Lord, we're not this temporary setback. We are not this person that battles with this and that and the other. That's not who we are. As we looked at it Wednesday night, Abraham from his soul was not a deceiver. He was not a liar. He was not a trickster. He battled that in the human part, but that's not who Abraham was. Abraham was a part of that life. He was part of God. Amen. Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just worship Him, children. Sing something, Harry. Let's just worship Him together. Oh, my. Oh, it's one thing I love about our invisible God, even though we may not be able to see Him in a tangible form, but He presses through to these dimensions and comes near where we are. And we can sense Him and we can feel Him. Amen. And our body's got to react. And maybe some of you will shake and some of you will jerk. Some of you tears trickle down your eyes and others you may react another way. But what is it? The invisible is manifesting itself on your visible corporal body. Amen. And you know the King is passing by. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We worship You, Lord. We worship You, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship You, Lord Jesus, with all of our souls, with all of our might, oh God. We magnify Your holy name, Lord God. You which is, which was, and which shall come. Hallelujah. For God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. For God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. For God is love. Hallelujah. So God is light. God is spirit. God is love. What are those things? Invisible. I'm not talking about natural light, by incandescent light, or fluorescent light, or LED, but supernatural light. Invisible. Right here in this building tonight. Love, invisible. Spirit, invisible. Oh, but let it respond and let it react to us. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Sing, Harry. Let's just worship Him now. Oh,
open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Hallelujah. Shine on me, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart.
Let me look beyond this darkness.
I want to see You.
Let me look beyond this human tabernacle, Lord God. Let me see You.
I want to see.
Let me catch a glimpse of the invisible. The King, eternal, immortal, invisible.
Open the eyes of my heart.
Oh, Jesus. Sing it, children.
Open the eyes of my heart.
Hallelujah.
So I can see.
I want to see You, Lord. I want to see You, Lord.
I can see.
I want to see You, Lord, in this building tonight, Your God.
Open the eyes of my heart.
Oh, let the church sing it.
By revelation, open the eyes of my heart.
Worship Him. Hallelujah. Nobody can sing it to Him like You can. You're His sweetheart. You're His love. Oh, sing it now, bride.
I want to see.
Oh, God.
I want to see.
Oh, Jesus.
Open the eyes of my heart.
Open the eyes of my heart.
Oh, let
atonement, in the paschal lamb, in the goat, I want to see you. Oh, let me see you in the evening offering. Let me see in the paschal lamb. Let me see in the feast of the trumpets. Let me see in the feast of tabernacles. Let me see in the book of Genesis. Let me see in the book of Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and Joshua and Judges. Oh, Lord God, let me see you. Let me see you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Can you imagine in time the great story of your life started one night as far as time. One night in a Baptist church, Pentecostal church, or maybe down in a bar room somewhere, out in a barn, or who knows where. Something started moving on your heart, and you made that move toward God. Now, that's when it was manifested in time. When people could be noted and something spoke to your heart. This is your last chance. This is your time. Who would have ever thought that would have been the beginning of this? Setting at the table with the King. Feasting on His unfailing body word. We're not feeding on a man. We're not feeding on Brother Branham. We're not feeding on Donnie Reagan or some other man. But the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. He's in our midst. The Son of Man, Christ Jesus. That pillar of fire is still here, friends. His messenger left. You say the pillar of fire is still here. Yes, sir. When he leaves, I go with him. When the pillar of fire leaves, you leave. Praise God. Brother Bram tells us in question answer 64, that Logos is made flesh. But he said, now that same Logos is here anointing sons of God to bring the word of this hour. Can you imagine that same Logos, whether or not you want to accept it, the same God that was on Mount Sinai has been right here on this little hill tonight. Lord have mercy. The same God that thundered on Sinai and wrote that out there with his finger. You believe God could write on stone? I do too. Surely if a God could write on a piece of rock, God could take a set of human lips and anoint that human instrumentality and speak things out of there that overwhelms the instrument? You think these things come from me? You think these things come from these brothers? Brother Darrell ain't that smart. Brother David ain't that smart. I ain't that smart. Brother Horn, it ain't our intelligence. No, it's from the King. All he needs is a yielded vessel that'll get out of the way. And the more he'll use them, the littler they'll get. And the more he'll use them, the littler they'll get. Lord, there ain't no telling what we'll hear before we leave this world. Oh, praise God. Lord, have mercy. I'm going to try to leave, but I'm drunk. I said, where y'all been tonight? On a drunk? I said, which tavern did you go to? Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ. I said, what kind do they serve there? They only serve one brand, Acts 2:38. St. John 14, St. John 10:30. I and my Father are one. That's the brand we have, the new wine. Praise be to God. God bless you, saints. Brother David, come sing and dismiss. Lord willing, I'll see you in the morning. Come if you can. He's got some more good stuff for us, believe me.
One day I'm going to take a step in the night. theophany. One day I'm gonna take another step into my theophany. One day I'm gonna make a final step. Well, it's going to set me free. My theophany, I hear it call. Glory to God. One day I'm gonna take another step toward my theophany. One day I'm gonna take another step. Glory! In the mind, the author. One day I'm gonna take that final step.
A little light of mine, brother, I'm gonna let it shine with this glory of God of mine. Yes, I'm gonna let it shine.